I want to change gears a bit and talk about the soybean aphid as a pest in a different agricultural system. By pest, I refer to the damage they cause indirectly as vectors of plant viruses. So Wisconsin is the leading state in terms of snap bean production. While a portion of beans produced go to fresh market, the majority are processed. By processed, I mean frozen or canned. A current problem the snap bean industry has been faced with is a disease resulting in what we call chocolate pod. Here in the photo, you can see the necrosis and the curled C-shaped form of the pod, which makes it difficult to process the bean. Growers wanted to know what was causing this chocolate pod symptoms. So German and others in the department conducted a virus survey in 2003 across the state to try to identify the causal agents. Two viruses, alfalfa mosaic virus and cucumber mosaic viruses, were commonly detected in snap bean in that year. Virus incidence, or the percent of infected plants, is divided by region. Here you can see New Richmond, Oconto, Central Sands, and South Central, as well as Door County. And here you can see also that the incidence of CMV is much higher than that of AMV across all regions. And virus infection was greatest in the South Central region. To give a brief background on AMV and CMV, they both are RNA viruses with multiple strains. They can infect a broad range of plant species. Over 200 plant species are susceptible to AMV. Over 700 plant species are susceptible to CMV. The current literature reports a virus complex or a combination of these viruses that cause this chocolate pod symptom. They even suggest the possibility of a third virus. But most importantly, they are transmitted by aphids in a non-persistent manner, meaning they can immediately pick up or acquire the virus and, without a latent period, immediately transmit. So listed in red are common aphid pest species that are capable vectors of at least one of these two viruses. Of these listed, the only recent introduction to the Wisconsin snap bean has been soybean aphid. So we decided to look at snap bean production since the arrival of the soybean aphid, and we do see a trend. Here, on the y-axis corresponding to the bar graph is Wisconsin snap bean yield in tons per acre. This is an average. On the opposite y-axis, we see it, which corresponds to the line, is the average soybean aphid populations. Although this correlation was not statistically significant, we just don't have enough years, we still were wondering what possible role, if any, the soybean aphid might be playing in commercial bean. What made us think this is because you start to see on high aphid years decreases in snap bean production. So in order to get at this question, we first need to understand what causes a virus epidemic. Virus epidemics are not consistent. They don't happen every single year, generally, and they tend to go in hot spots in parts of one state and not the other. So I put together a roadmap to put in perspective the necessary chance events that need to occur to cause an epidemic. First, aphids need to visit snap bean. What aphids do visit snap bean? Also, aphids need to be able to acquire and transmit viruses that are common in snap bean, either from plant to plant, as you see here, or through introductions into the field from a natural source of inoculum. So we also need to identify where these sources of inoculum exist in the environment. And last, aphids must visit these forage plants to acquire a virus and transmit to the field. So now I'm going to walk through each step to look at the vector capability of soybean aphid in each of these events. So first, the step is to identify all the possible vectors. Who visits Snapbean? So we suspect that the soybean aphid does visit Snapbean. So we set out to monitor aphid flight activity in 15 Snapbean fields for 2 consecutive years. We used a 3-inch by 3-inch Gladware sandwich container filled with 50% propylene glycol, 50% water, and placed it just inside the edge of the Snapbean field within 5 meters, the second within at a 50 meters away from the edge, and then the third at 100 meters away from the edge. We changed these traps on a weekly basis, starting in the beginning of June until the very end of August. So all future flight graphs that I will be showing will take the same format. I've categorized on the x-axis throughout the season. It's divided by week and grouped by month and shaded in gray here. Soybean aphid color will always be in blue, and on the y-axis is the total alate abundance caught for all traps and for all fields for that particular week. So in 2006, we saw that the soybean aphid does visit Snapbean, with peak abundances in early August, late July, also a smaller, less active flight in mid-July. In 2007, we see only one peak flight occurring earlier than in 2006, at the end of July. Notice the difference in trap counts in 2006 compared to 2007. I had the same number of water pan traps for both years. We can roughly see a fourfold difference. When we look at the other aphid species shown in magenta, we do not see similar patterns. In 2006, peak flight occurred early mid-July, which comprised mostly of the pea aphid. And in 2007, peak flight coincided with soybean aphid flight, and that composed mostly of Rapallisiphon matus, or the cornleaf aphid. What is interesting is that we do not see an increase in virus infection until after these late July, August peaks. So this data shows results from a virus survey we conducted in 2007, a high aphid pressure year, at least for Snapbean. I took 100 leaf samples at emergence of both an early planted crop and a late planted crop. In Wisconsin, we can fit in 2 crops because Snapbean is a 60-day crop. So I took 100 leaf samples at each of the 15 fields, both at emergence and just before maturity or harvest. And I tested for the presence of AMV and CMV. These numbers are averages across the 15 fields. And notice that AMV incidence increases within the 60 days for each of the crop plantings, but CMV incidence dramatically increased at crop maturity primarily at the second planting. So to summarize, the soybean aphid does visit Snapbean along with other aphids. The soybean aphid peak flight occurs late July, early August. An increased virus incidence coincides with peak aphid flight periods. So moving on, now that we know that the soybean aphid will visit Snapbean, how well is it at being a vector of these viruses to Snapbean? To answer this question, we collected some field isolates of both AMV and CMV in Snapbean. We established these isolates in a susceptible Snapbean variety back in the greenhouse and used these infected plants as source plants for virus transmission studies. In the interest of time, I will only be showing a sample of these transmission assay studies. So this is a table showing the name of the isolate, the CMV transmission from Snapbean to Snapbean, and the number of successful transmissions in parentheses to the number of total plants used in that transmission assay. Also, you can see from the pie chart is CMV transmission, successful transmission for that particular isolate. So light blue also will represent the number of healthy snap bean plants that did not get infected. And virus infection was verified using enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay, or ELISA. What I think is very interesting, actually, is that these two severe strains of CMV were very efficiently vectored by the soybean aphid. When we compare the number of transmission successes between the soybean aphid and Rapalocyphon paddy, we see that the soybean aphid appears to be a more efficient vector of CMV. However, note that R. paddy still can transmit this virus. So from these transmission studies, we conclude that the soybean aphid is a competent vector of CMV and snap bean. I haven't shown the data today, but it is also a competent vector in AMV. So we know that the soybean aphid visits snap bean and can vector non-persistent viruses. For a virus epidemic to occur in a healthy snap bean field, a source of inoculum must reside somewhere in the environment for aphids to acquire and transmit. Previous studies in other commercial crops such as lettuce, cucurbits, and sweet pepper suggest that important virus reservoirs exist along field edges of these commercial fields. So when you look at what surrounds a typical commercial agricultural field in Wisconsin, you will often see volunteer forage legumes like red clover, bird's foot trefoil, alfalfa, and many times these forages appear symptomatic, as you see in this naturally infected red clover plant. So we decided to test whether plants within those field margins are naturally infected. We took leaf samples from forage plants within a 5-meter border surrounding 17 separate snap bean fields. And we focused on forages because they're members of the bean family, the secondary host of the soybean aphid. This survey was conducted for 2 years and across the state. We tested for the presence of AMV and CMV using ELISA. So AMV and CMV do naturally occur in these forage plants within the field margins. Virus incidence now is on the x-axis, percent of infected plants, and plant species by common name is listed on the y-axis. The number in parentheses corresponds to the total number of plants sampled for that particular species. And this is a summary across all those 17 fields. As you can see, AMV is quite common in the clovers and alfalfa, as well as other species. CMV, however, was only detected in small amounts, one sample in alfalfa and just a few in hairy vetch. But remember, these viruses can infect many different plant species. So when we look at plant species outside of the bean family, we also find natural infections of both AMV and CMV. Interestingly, we detected high levels of CMV in eastern nightshade, which is an annual solanaceous weed often found in the plant rows along snap bean fields. So in sum, AMV and CMV are two non-persistent viruses commonly detected in off-crop habitats like the field margins. They are also found in other agriculture crops like squash, potato, alfalfa. Now that we know that AMV and CMV resides in different plants within the field margins, does the soybean aphid visit these field margins? So in addition to monitoring the aphid flight activity in snap beans, we also set up three additional water pan traps in the surrounding field margins within that 5-meter border for each of the bean fields. Again, traps were changed each week beginning in June until the very end of August. So this graph is showing the total aphid alate abundance across all fields and pan traps, divided by week, during the 2006 growing season. So yes, soybean aphid does visit these habitats. We see a peak flight in early August for the soybean aphid and a peak flight in mid-July for other aphids. Again, this is primarily the pea aphid. When we compare the numbers to the aphid counts we saw in snapping, flight patterns are similar in both habitats. With the y-axis on the same scale, it is apparent that aphid visitation is greater in snapping. What we saw in snapping fields was also similar to the flight patterns and field margins in 2007. Peak flights for all aphids occurred late July, early August. Notice the scale difference on the y-axis. We saw almost a tenfold difference in aphid numbers between the habitats. So from the previous data, we can conclude that the soybean aphid, as well as other aphids, visit these weedy field margin habitats, where they could potentially acquire non-persistently transmitted viruses. Soybean aphid peak flights for both years occurred at the end of July, beginning of August. So if we put all the pieces of the puzzle together, what have we learned? The soybean aphid, along with other aphid species, visit snapping with peak soybean aphid flights in late July, early August. Virus incidence in snapping increased after these peak flights. Through our transmission studies, we were able to show that the soybean aphid is a competent vector of non-persistent viruses in snapping. These viruses are naturally present across the landscape, both in-crop and off-crop habitats. The soybean aphid and other aphids visit these field margins where these viruses naturally occur. Therefore, I can confidently say that the soybean aphid, as well as other aphid species, could potentially play an important role in each of these chance events that lead to a virus epidemic. I would like to thank the bean processors for letting me monitor in their fields. I especially want to thank Michigan State University and Iowa State University for their collaborative effort. I would also like to thank David Votlin and Doris Lagos for helping me with specimen identification. Finally, I would like to thank my lab, my committee, and my funding sources for this research opportunity. I do.
I don't think that they could be acquiring it further away and bringing it in?
They could be, but I haven't yet to prove it, but I'm hoping to, that it comes more, majority of the virus incidents comes from this small border surrounding a commercial field. Yes?
You get the symptoms on the bean that the process is being used. Does that plant have to be infected prior to flowering, or an infection occurring after flowering also results?
So infection can occur both prior and after flowering to get that pod, chocolate pod symptom. Mm-hmm. Yes? I think I see an abundant amount of soybean aphids as well as other aphids only at emergence. I think they cue in on this contrasting background, and where it's a benefit, that I'm not sure of. Thank you.
Thank you.